Welcome to the Family Health and Hustle Podcast, where sharing our stories, common experiences, and best practices about balancing family, practicing good health, and reaching your goals can help you feel supported, bring clarity, and guide you to the life you want. So if you're ready to challenge yourself, your health, and the hustle around you, then consider this your community. Now, let's welcome your host, Anthony Hernandez.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me this week as I continue to share my story and share some of my experiences. And to kind of go along with the last few episodes, I just want to kind of share a little bit about me and help you get to know me a little bit better and hopefully understand a little bit about how I balance my family, health, and hustle. So along those lines, a question I get asked all the time, as I'm sure many of you do, is how did you meet your spouse? How'd you meet her? How'd you guys kick things off? How do you balance the journey together? And so I thought I'd share a little bit about that today. So my wife and I have been married for almost 10 years. It'll actually be 10 years next month. So pretty cool. We did it. We've made it. That's a big milestone. 10 years is a big deal. I'm going to tell this story, and my wife, if you're listening, I love you, but I'm going to tell it my way. So, you know, for those listening at home, my way, I would argue, is the truth, is the way it really did happen. But I think, as many of you know, when it comes to stories from couples, you know, sometimes, depending on who's telling the story, there might be one side of the story that's a little biased. And not for me. No, I will tell you the truth 100%. And if she wants to refute it or deny it or tell her version, then, she's going to have to come on here and meet me on this podcast and tell her side of the story. But for now, you get to hear my side, my truth, as it's often called. So we met back in 2012. Let me take you back to that time. And I was 23 or 24. I had just returned to the States. As I mentioned a few episodes ago, I had spent a couple years in Ghana for my church, and I was back. I had been back for several months, but, you know, I mean, I was gone for 2 years. So, I mean, you know, I was still probably a little awkward. You just get out of the habit. You get out of the habit of talking to women in a flirtatious way. At least you should be, have gotten out of the habit of talking to women in a flirtatious way. But, you know, that's side story. So I may have been a little awkward. I may have been eager for female companionship. So I was chatty. I was flirty. I didn't quite know how to flirt anymore, but I was flirty. I liked talking and hanging out and stuff. So I had gotten back. We had gone on like a family trip and a few different things, and I hadn't really landed on a job. As I kind of mentioned before, I'd come home. My family had a restaurant, and like a week after I came home, yeah, I was excited to get started, and they were like, by the way, we're closing it down. And I was like, no. Oh, no, that's, what am I going to do for money? And I end up doing like a graveyard demolition shift for something down in Salt Lake City. It was like 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. of going into a building and demoing it while it was closed. And I did that with one of my friends. And anyway, but that was for like a few weeks. And then I was just back and forth on a couple little odd-end jobs, just trying to make a few extra bucks so I could actually feel like a grown-up. Because when you come back, it's like starting from nothing a lot of times. I finally get a job at Chili's, the restaurant. And I think one of my friends had worked there for a little while. And Chili's, for me, was like the coveted job. I had tried in high school to get a job there. I wanted to be a waiter because in high school I worked at like a pizza shop. I worked at two different pizza shops actually. Then I worked at a gym and a few different things. And then like it was like, oh, if I could work at Chili's, that'd be cool. I had, you know, well, I mean, that's, you got to aspire to something no matter where you at and are at in life, and no matter how big or small that is, you got to aspire for something. And that was the thing where I was like, yeah, Chili's, I'll work there one day. So I had a friend that worked there, and I applied. He put in a good word for me, and I got the job as a waiter, which was really fun at first, and I'll explain why later. It got my social side out. I like talking to people and getting back into the groove of things. But on my first day there, I come in, there was a long table in the section, and they had kind of all their new people starting and going in for like new hire orientation, which, by the way, if you own a company or a small business, it is important to do a new hire orientation. I've worked for many companies that do not, and just don't shoot yourself in the foot. You got to give these guys a good, fresh start when you bring on team members and make them feel like you actually want them there. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, so I start there, and she comes in, and I see her from a distance. And I was like, oh, hey, girl, hey. But I was like, ah, no, she looks too cool. I was kind of a mess, a little bit of a, I wouldn't say I was a nerd, but I don't know if I would say I was like really cool either. But I saw her come in and she looked cool. Okay. If you're listening to this, honey, then, okay, easy. Okay. I'm going to throw down some compliments here on the show for you and just take them. Okay. But she comes in, she's looking cool, she's looking fresh, she's wearing some nice jeans, a nice shirt, has her hair slicked back in a ponytail. And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of girls I've met, they're like, oh, that's the lazy look, the ponytail look. But for me, especially at the time, I was like, oh, ouch, oh, like I like that ponytail look. So I see her come in, I'm like, wow, that's a very attractive girl, but she probably wouldn't be into me. She just looked like she was into like really cool guys, like buff guys and stuff. And anyway, that's what it was. She sat down at the opposite end of the table. I don't even remember talking to her. I probably was glancing over here and there to see what's up, what she was up to, kind of a thing. See if she was looking my way a little bit, maybe, but no. Anyway, so that's it. We do new hire orientation and we move along. And we get paired up with partners to start our training. So instead of all 10 of us or 12 of us, whatever it was, coming to work at the same time, we got put with partners. And lucky me, she was my partner. I still got that post-missionary schedule. Like I was, our days out there on as a missionary were very structured for they were supposed to be for the most part. They were structured. We had a lot of appointments we would attend to. And so I just got in the habit of being on time, being prompt, being early, like just being there, whatever. And so I'm there. First day, I didn't know she was my partner actually at the time. But I show up early, and I'm ready to rock. And they're like, okay, well, we're not quite ready for you because you're too early. Just go sit over there. And I sit down at the table and I find out that she's my partner. And she was late. And I remember thinking to myself, ah, this girl, she's not going to cut it here. She can't roll with it. She's not serious. And she comes in and was looking fresh. Obviously, any of those thoughts I had just the minute she walked in was like out of my mind. And I was like, how you doing? So she comes in and we start training and we get to know each other and start working together. As we do so, we start getting paired up in sections together because usually they have a waitress and a waiter. Double team a section in the restaurant and help each other out and things like that. So we start getting teamed up together and we were chatty and talking back in the kitchen and different things. This is where the story kind of maybe goes. She would argue with this part of the story. And that is that she started inviting me to things. I don't think she would argue that part, but she started really inviting me to things. Like she would say, hey, you should come to my birthday party. I said, okay, cool. And then I would walk out to my car and find a note on my car that was like, looking forward to seeing you at my birthday party. You can't deny it. If you're listening, you can't deny it. So she would do that kind of stuff. A little bit of that was like, okay, all right, I think this girl, I think there's a little vibe happening here. And we would dress up in the restaurant for holidays. And specifically once, it was for St. Patrick's Day, ironically, which is coming up soon here. But she came to me, she's like, well, what are you wearing? Are you wearing green? I was like, I don't really own anything St. Patty Day, bright green, things like that. And she's like, okay, well, I'll bring you something. And I was like, okay. So I showed up and, of course, didn't have anything. And I think she brought some stuff for me to wear, if I remember correctly. And anyway, just little things like that where I was like, okay, all right. I don't think a normal friend at work would necessarily do that. And then I started feeling a little bit of that connection, if you know what I'm saying, where I was like, okay, I do like hanging out with this girl. I like spending time with her and talking with her. And what we would do is later down the road, as we would get off, we worked close to like an IHOP. So we would go to IHOP and grab some pancakes or whatever, which, by the way, we didn't get off to like 1 a.m. That was back when I was younger and I could eat crap at 1 a.m, like pancakes and stuff, and not feel horrible about myself. That is no longer the case, but that's the only time we had to hang out. So we're doing a lot of that. We're hanging out a lot like that. There was a lady who I worked with that would... Oh, I should backtrack a little bit. At this time, I had kind of seen or been hanging out with another girl prior to this thing with my wife, whose name is Miranda. Before that, started feeling a little... You know, there was some connection and a little bit of... I don't want to say... What's the best word to say? Like, I don't want to say heat, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of this little thing that was like, yeah, this is happening. So before that happened, I was hanging out with this other girl, dating her a little bit, and it was kind of just, it just wasn't even serious. She kept coming to me and was like, let's hang out. And I was like, oh, okay, you sure? Okay, all right. And then like 2 days later, I'd be like, nah, we're not doing this. And then a couple days later, she'd have a bad day and be like, okay, let's hang out again. And so I totally saw that was happening. But anyway, so she would like show up at work and want my attention. And another coworker would come to me and kind of like slap me across the head and be like, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, you got someone right over here in this restaurant that really wants to spend time with you and hang out with you. And then you got this other girl coming around here. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, over there. What do you think I'm talking about? And I was like, oh, so there's like some girl talk happening, huh? So she wants me, huh? And then of course the bartender would be like, oh, hey, relax. Okay. Calm down, Fabio. Relax. So this is where our stories differ a little bit, because she would argue that I was that way, that I was the one that was constantly looking over the glass, being like, what's she doing? Who's she talking to? And, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of that as we started kind of growing that connection, and there'd be like a group of guys come in, like 12 guys from like the military base right around there. And, you know, they're chatting up a storm with her and getting wind of that on the other side of the restaurant. And I was like, what the heck is this? What's going on there? You know, I don't like this. So, I mean, there is a little bit of that. But anyway, I mean, that's where it all started, Chili's. And we kind of smoothed out that little back and forth for a little while. And then finally, we decided to go steady. And we went steady for about a year. And we kind of had made that decision too on Christmas Eve. So it was like on Christmas Eve, it's like, all right, we're a thing. Let's do this. And the following year on Christmas Eve is when I actually proposed to her. And I proposed down in Salt Lake. There's a restaurant called The Roof. And it looks over Salt Lake and over Temple Square down there. And it's a nice buffet. And anyway, proposed down there. I think I may have even mentioned that in a past episode of kind of that story of how that happened. So, I mean, after that, we proposed. We got married. We got married in Battle Mountain, Nevada, which is her hometown. And she was kind of like, let's just get married here where we were living. And her mom came to me and said, come on, like, come to Battle Mountain. I know it's smaller. You don't know anyone, but come here and like, I'll take care of it. Like, I'll make sure you have a great wedding. And so I was just stoked to get married. I was like, okay, I don't care where we get married. That's fine. Like, we'll go to Battle Mountain. And so we got to go down there and had such a fun wedding day and bachelor party. And she had a little party before the night before as well. And it was just fun. Great people down there. Lots of fun. And that's how we started after our wedding, which, by the way, the people at our wedding, like, they got crazier than me and her did. Like, we hung out, but we were going the next morning to, like, we kept our honeymoon was in California. We decided to keep it closed. At that point, we were not working at Chili's. Both her and I had different jobs, still starting out life, and we weren't able to go to, you know, Asia on the backs of elephants and stuff like that. We just weren't able to do that. So we ended up just going to California and spend some time there, getting a little resort there and doing that. And so on our wedding day, the next day we were driving there. And so we got to bed at a relatively good time, but the party continued. So everyone was partying, got a whole bunch of pictures, and it was a funny time. So that's how we got together. That's how we met. That little story right there, that is how we try to live our life, essentially. We try to keep things fresh. We try to work hard, but play hard as well. As I mentioned before, she's the one that keeps me playing, because sometimes I work a little too hard. She has to pull me off and say, hey, it's time to hang out. It's time to do something fun. And I appreciate her for doing that and for being there for me. And she's very supportive, which I think is so important as you look for a spouse, or if you are already married or have a significant other, like, share your goals with them. It's okay that those goals will evolve. My goals today are vastly different than they were. I didn't have any goals when we first got married. I just was kind of going with the flow. And now I have a lot more focused goals, and so does she. And what I love about our relationship is it's something that we can support each other in those goals. And all of our goals relate to things we want to accomplish as a family. And it's not anything that's just me or just her. It's things that are, you know, we fully recognize that the family is intertwined within those goals, and we support each other in doing that. I think, again, as you are in your relationships, if you're just getting started with your relationship, or you are 30 years married, I mean, you would know more about this than I do, but share those goals with each other often and make plans together often that support those goals, because it's easy for us to forget about those goals and let them slide back onto the back burner. But share those goals often with each other and those plans, and try to remember what it was like when you first met. Try to remember some of that fun and see how maybe you've taken that and applied it to your relationship over the course of the years that you've been together, or, like I said, if you're just getting started, how you can apply and keep that feeling alive. Because if you don't nurture that feeling, it's only natural that you might lose touch of it. I'm a big fan of reflecting, and reflecting on not just things I've done or goals or things I want to do, but reflecting on feelings I've had and experiences I've had and who I've had them with, and identifying those great feelings and experiences that I want to continue to have. So as I tell this story of meeting my wife, our marriage has not been sunshine and gumdrops and rainbows the entire time. There will be many times in the future that it won't be. But I try to really focus on the feelings that I had when we initially got together and we initially started dating, and we were flirting and we were doing all this stuff. Because I think a lot of times when you're in a rough relationship, you think, oh, well, if I go to that person, like, I can have that feeling again. Not realizing that that feeling will dim with that person if you don't nurture it. Doesn't matter who you're with. Those feelings can be, for lack of a better word, dulled over time if you're not giving them attention. And so anytime we've had rough spots in our marriage, and like I said, I mean, it's not like I'm perfect. I mean, I bicker with my wife last night. Anytime I'm very frustrated or I have some of those thoughts of like why maybe I'm not feeling a certain way or like I used to or whatever, and I try to reflect on that time that we got together, how we were acting, some of that excitement, and try to pull from that and bring some of that to our everyday relationship. And I don't do a good job of it all the time, but I try. And even if it's not something I'm outwardly doing, I try to take some of those memories and put them in my mind and remember those experiences and those feelings. And hopefully that is helping my outward behavior as well. It might not be. And to my wife, I say sorry if it doesn't always come off that way. But I wouldn't have it any other way. So if you're just getting started or you're already in a relationship, think about those times when you just started. Maybe you have been able to preserve that feeling, that exciting feeling. If you have, I would honestly love to hear from you. And, you know, email me, anthony@familyhealthandhustle.com. Share how you've been able to preserve that excitement and that, I don't know, energy, I guess. I don't know the best way to describe it, but it's like that, like, it's like this feeling of like, ooh, this is new. And it's, I don't want to say it's risky or anything, but it's, this is new and this is exciting and it's refreshing and it's energizing. How have you kept that in your marriage all these years? And if you haven't, well, why not? Think back as to when you had that. What has stopped that feeling from remaining in your marriage? And what can we do to get that back? What can we do to reinvigorate the relationship? Now, it's not a one-sided question or a one-sided solution. It takes both of you. And if one of you is not willing to, then you know, that makes it pretty difficult. But that doesn't mean you should give up. That just means you might have to try a little harder to get that person feeling that way and get them involved in that. But anyway, that's a little bit about me. That's how my wife and I met. Those are some of the thoughts that I have in my mind because it was exciting. And it's been 10 years. 10 years. Holy cow. I can't believe it. That's flown by and it's been great. Even the hard stuff's been great. I'm not perfect. If you're listening, I love you. Forgive me for my imperfections. For those that are listening, if you have tips and tricks to keep things fresh, keep things energized and invigorated, please let me know. Shoot me an email. If you're just getting started and you have questions, shoot me an email. You know, how do you get over this or how do you do that? Again, I don't have all the answers, but I'd be more than happy to give you some ideas. Be more than happy to pitch it out here to the community and see what ideas other people have to keep things fresh and energized. And it doesn't have to necessarily be exciting, but just keep the love there. Keep the love at the surface, because sometimes the feeling of love gets buried a little bit. So it's not as noticeable, maybe. It's there, but maybe it's not as noticeable. How do we keep that at the surface and help our significant other feel that love all the time? That could be hard, because life gets busy and you have two different types of personalities. I might not need to be reminded of that love my wife has for me all the time, but maybe it's vice versa. Maybe she needs a little more attention, or maybe not. Maybe it's the husband that needs a little bit more attention and it's up to the other person to try to keep that at the forefront of their mind. That can be a challenge as well. Anyway, marriage is awesome. Having a family is awesome. It's extremely rewarding. If you're thinking about it, I can testify that it's totally worth it. But you got to be dedicated to it. And you got to work hard. But it's worth it. And it can bring a lot of joy. But it also requires you not to be selfish. And you have to be all about the team. The team being the family. I would imagine that others would agree with me on that as well. So that's a little bit about me. That's a little bit about how I met my wife. That's a little bit about what keeps me going in the house and trying to balance my family with everything else I'm trying to do. They are always the number one priority. I hope they are for you, and because they are the most lasting thing, and that's where you're going to get the most joy. So until next week I'll share a little bit more about myself and about where I've come from and a little bit about what goes on, what keeps me ticking up here. And hopefully that provides some insight as well as how I kind of juggle several things in life and try to get to work. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you found value in this episode, please share it with a friend. I really appreciate it. I'd love to grow this community and share lots of our experiences so we can all grow and get better and have amazing experiences along these journeys and truly feel the joy that comes from working towards balancing your family, your health, and your hustle. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining in today, because pursuing a balance between family, health, and hustle, it can feel a little wacky sometimes. So we need to learn from each other. And with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. In the meantime, download our free ebook, 6 Secrets for Success, at familyhealthandhustle.com. And remember, we're on this journey together.